Okay, we're beginning here on Pei Zion with Aleph, about 12 lines down from the top. We're continuing here with the Agadata about the interaction between Avraham and the Malachim when they came to visit him in Sudat Avraham. So the Gemara says, Kemach, Ktiv Kemach, Uchtiv Solet. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mkansha Isha Tzarai Neab Orchim, Yer Termine Ish. Because when Avram went presented the information to Sarah, he said to bring out Solet. In the end, that she ended up using Kemach. So that's an indication that a woman is a lot more reserved when it comes to serving the guests. Chtiv Lushi Vasiu Gut. It says that she should make, knead, and make cakes. Uchtiv Vaikach Chema V'chilev Uven Bakar. So even though Avram had instructed Sarah to make cakes or bread, nevertheless, when he comes to actually serve the Malachim, that's not found in the menu that he presents before them. So Amar Ephraim Maksha'a, Tamidosha Rabbi Meir, Mishmeid Rabbi Meir, Avram Avinu Ochel Chulin Bitara Haya. Avram Avinu was makpid to eat his chulin bitara, v'sarei meno oto yom pirsa nida. That's why the Malachim, one of the jobs of the Malachim that we saw before, was come to tell Sarah that she was mevaser ota, to let her know that she was going to have a child. If she's going to have a child, that means that she returned to menstruating. If she returned to menstruating, pirsa nida, that was tumat nida, and therefore Avram did not present them with the bread because she had been pirsa nida when she was making the bread. V'yimru eilav, ayei Sarah ishtecha. So the Malachim asked Avram, where is your wife Sarah? Vayomer hinei ba'ohel, and Avram responds to her that she's in the tent. That teaches us that our mother Sarah was very tznua, because that's why she was found in the ohel. She had not come out. They knew that answer. Elamai ba'ohel. So why did they ask the question? I mean, if they knew where she was going to be, why did they bother to ask the question? It says gedei lechavava al bala, in order to make her more beloved to her husband, to make him aware of the fact that she was tznua, make him aware of the fact that he had a very special wife. Tani, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar kedei lishagala koshel bracha, in order to give her a bracha. I mean, they asked about her in order to, in the sense when you inquire about someone and you ask them shalom, it's not simply to inquire about their well-being, but also to give them a bracha. Tani Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Lama Nakud Alayo Shebe Elav. Because it says in the Pasuk, when it says Vayimru Elav, we want to know why on the words in Elav that there are dots on top of, there's a dot on top of the Aleph, the Yud, and the Vav. What does that teach you? So where it says, Lim the Torah Derech Eretz, Shish El Adam Bachsan Yeshalom. That the Torah is teaching us the proper way to behave, and that one should inquire about the well-being of the host and the hostess that they are staying with. So Mar says, "Amar Shmuel ain't shalim b'shalom ishaklal." Don't we have a memorah from Shmuel that says that we do not inquire about the well-being of a woman? So how could the Malachim be inquiring about Sarah? Mar says, "Ayudei bala shiny, through her husband, then that is permitted." So now, first of all, the question about Vayomer Elav. When it says Vayimru Elav, when they spoke to Avraham, and then on the it has dots on the word Aleph, on the letters Aleph Yud Vav Ayo, there Rashi explains that the limud over here is limda Torah derech eretz. Why? Because Rashi says Hainu Dukot Ayo Dodo Yetzrichim Lishael. They didn't have to ask. The Yodim Ayu Shiabol. They knew that she was in the tent. So therefore, Rashi says, come and learn Derech Eretz from the fact that it was not necessary to ask the question. And nevertheless, they did ask the question, so that indicates to you Derech Eretz, that it's appropriate to ask a husband or a individual about the well-being of the hostess as well. And that's what you learn from it. So Rashi simply says, because the pasuk extraneation would fit with the flow of the Gemara before, which says that the Malachim knew about Sarah's well-being, and then we gave us several answers as to why the Malachim nevertheless inquired about her well-being. Tosus, on the other hand, says no, that this is based on the drusha that we see in the Breshit Rabbah that says over there, Ayo Nakud, why? What's the point of Nakud? Kashem Shemrul Avraham Ayei Sarah. Just they said to Avraham, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, Kach Amrul Sarah, Ayo, Avraham. They asked Sarah about where Avraham or what Avraham's well-being was. And that's what the drush of Ayo is. Ayo is the question that they asked to Sarah, in that the Malachim inquired both of the host about the hostess's well-being, and then they asked the hostess about the host's well-being. And that's the Derech Eretz that is being referred to over here in the Gemara. As Tosa says, if the pshat is like Rashi, or the explanation is like Rashi, then the nekudot should have been on the word ayay, because that's the eker part of the drasha. Ayo has nothing to do with the drasha, according to Rashi. And once sort of over many years ago, a beautiful idea, but if you look at the psukim over here, if you want, it says, Vayomru elav, they said to him, ayay sarai ishtecha, where is your Sarah, your wife? So if we use the dots, the nekudot on the dots, to teach you that it means ayo, so then it really means, if you read the pasuk now, it says, Vayomru elav ayo, they said, where is he? And then the answer is, Ayei Sarai Ishtecha, where is Sarah's wife? And based on that, I wanted to heard over a beautiful thought, that if you want to know where a person's standing spiritually, where his level of Ruchaniyot is, or Yemru Eilev Ayo, where are you standing, Avraham? The answer to that question is, Ayei Sarai Ishtecha, where is Sarah, your wife? Meaning that the wife, who's the Akeret Abayit, and who's the one who really sets the tone and standard of the house, if you want to know where the spiritual level of the husband is, that's going to be of the family, that's going to be determined by the wife. And that was the question of the Malachim, Vayomru, Elav, Ayo, where is Abraham? So the answer was, Ayei Sarai Ishtecha, where is his wife Sarah? The second thing is here where the Gemara says that one is permitted in answering up the question about Shmuel, who says one is not allowed to inquire about the well-being of a woman, that over here the Gemara says that they bala, then by through her husband that is permitted. She says that simply it's Ella, you can ask the bala, Yishel Mashlom Agveret, how is she doing? How's the woman, how's your wife doing? By the way, it's Tosfos, it narrows it down even further and says, Ayidei bala, hainu dafka lishol ayye plonit. That's simply to ask, where is she? Avalishol bishloma, to ask about her well-being, afilu yidei bala asur. So Tosfos obviously has a much more dour definition of what is considered appropriate. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Achare bluti hayita liyedna. Amar Rav Chista, acharshinit bala habasar. After the flesh had become soft, rabu akmatim, and there were many folds, nit adena basar. Her flesh, once it came, became soft, nit pashtu akmatim, and the folds had stretched out. In that Sarah, who was already aged, and her body had shown that aging. At this point, her body returned to the her former youth, her former status of her youth. Chazar Yofilim Koman, she became as beautiful as in her young days. Tiv Vadunizakin, and it says that Sarah says that my master, meaning referring to Abraham, is old. How am I going to have a child? Chtiv Vanizakanti Hashem tells over the story to Abraham about Sarah's response. It says, Hashem says at that point, Anizakanti, that Sarah referred to herself and says that I am too old. So the Gemara says, Demoti levei HaKadosh Baruch Hu tamar imi. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Abraham what had transpired, he doesn't say what Sarah really said. So from this we know, Tana Deber Bishmo, Godot LaShalom. Here we see how great that Shalom is, keeping peace and not causing strife or quarreling between others. Shafil is Kodesh Baruch Hu Shinabo. Because even Kodesh Baruch Hu himself changed the wording of Sarah, what she actually stated, in order to protect Sarah, so Avraham would not get upset with her. She never Titzachek Sarah Bikirba. She was caught off guard when she heard that she was going to give birth, and she thought that that was seemed to be ludicrous about Dunizakain, and then she said about her husband that he was very old. Uchtiv, and then when Hashem comes and speaks to Avraham, Yom Hashem al Avraham, Vanizakanti, and he when retells that story, Hashem says, Vanizakanti, meaning that I, Sarah, am old. So there, based on that, we learn that from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that when it comes to Shalom, that it's it could die to change a little bit in order to protect the Shalom. And we mentioned, we won't go over it again, but earlier in the Masechta, on the Daf Chav Gimel Amud Abet, over there, we learned the Sukyo at the bottom of Chav Gimel Abet about three things that a Talmid Chacham is allowed to lie about, or change the truth about. And there we questioned why this is not included in that list, because this is another issue or item where one is allowed to change for Mitnei Shalom. So there we discuss the different Rishonim, how they deal with the fact that there's a list of three there, and then there's the list of Shalom here, and there's one other Mikor. So just to remind us that of that Sugya, that this is part of that larger Sugya of when one is allowed to change the truth or change what they've heard. So now the Gemara continues to darshan that Sugya. But Tomer Mimilel Avraham Enikabanim Sarah. So it says, when Avram at the Suda, that Avram makes the Gamelet Yitzchak, it says, that he said, Mimi Lel Avraham, who spoke to Avraham and Ika Banim Sarah and gave many children to Sarah to nurse. Kamabanim Enika Sarah. How many children did Sarah nurse? She only had Yitzchak. She was only nursing one child. Samar Rav Levi, Oto Yom Shekamal Avraham Et Yitzchak Beno Asa Suda Gdola. On the day that Avraham had was finished nursing and bringing Yitzchak up to Mikomel Oto, Yekolam Oto Lam Miraninim. He had made a big party for them, and everybody was questioning the validity or the fact that this was really their child. Vomrim Ritim Zaken Zkena Shivio Sufi Minashuk. Here you see there's the old man and old woman, meaning referring to Avraham and Sarai here, that they took in an abandoned child from the street. And then they claim that it's their child. So now, not only that, to ensure the veracity of the fact that it is their child, they're continuing on the charade and they're making a big party to show that they were now being gomel, the baby. Amid Divraham. Mas Avraham Avinu Alach Vizimen Kol Gdolei Ador V'Sara Imenu Zimna Et Nishotehem. Avraham invited all the big names of that generation, and Sarah went ahead and invited the women. All the women who came to the Suda brought their young child with them, the young child that they were nursing, but did not bring their nurse along with them. So what happened? So they needed to, the babies needed to eat. That Sarah Imenu, who was until that point nursing Yitzchak, went ahead and was given a bracha meit Hashem that she was able to nurse all the babies that were there. So from that, they saw that, of course, if she was able to nurse, then it wasn't simply a woman who is able to nurse. It's usually because of the fact that she's given birth to a baby. So if she had given birth to a baby, that was why she was able to nurse. But even so, v'dayin ayu merananim v'omrim im Sarah abat tishim shana teleid Avraham ben ma shana yolid. Fine, maybe it's Sarah's baby because we see she's nursing. Maybe, okay, at 90. But who says that Avraham, a father, could give birth or impregnate her at 100 years old? Right away, then the face of Yitzchak changed, and he looked exactly like Avraham Avinu. Patchu kulam v'amru, Avraham holid et Yitzchak. And then we have the parsha later on about Elitot Yitzchak, Avraham Olid et Yitzchak. Why does it say Avraham Olid et Yitzchak? Because it was so obvious that Avraham had given birth to Yitzchak, because Yitzchak looked exactly like Avraham. Where it says, Ad Avraham lo yazikna. Till the time of the Avraham, there was no aging. Might man to have a boy the mishtei b'hadei Avraham, mishtadei b'hadei Yitzchak. B'hadei Yitzchak, mishtei b'hadei Avraham. So the problem was now that if Yitzchak looked exactly like Avraham, then people could not tell the difference between Avraham and Yitzchak. They looked exactly alike, and since there was no aging, Avraham didn't look any different than Yitzchak. Avraham turns to Hashem and says, let us age so that we'll be this differentiation. So therefore, Avraham would look slightly different than Yitzchak. So even though Yitzchak now would resemble Avraham, but at least he wouldn't look exactly alike because he would have aged. Shnemar v'Avraham zakein baba yamim. So you see later on the psukim that Avraham had aged. Ad Yaakov lo aviyachusha. Until the time of Yaakov, there was no weakness. No, meaning weakness here means that a person would get sick or weaken themselves before they passed away. Ata Yaakov bari rachmei v'avichusha. So then Yaakov came along and asked for rachamim, that there should be, a person should, before they die, at least so some simanim that their body is weakening and indicative of the fact that they're going to pass away. That Pasuk says that they said to Yosef, your father has gotten sick. And Yaakov Avinu asked for this in order that people should be able to prepare their last will and testament to instruct their family what to do, and that it gives a person time to both deal with all the issues that he needs to instruct or give over to others, and the other way around, for others to be prepared for the person to pass away. It wouldn't be something that was sudden. Adat Elisha lo avich the chalish v'itpach. That in time of the Elisha, nobody would get sick and they get healthy again. I mean, if one got sick, that meant that that was their sickness that they would die by. At Elisha by rachme v'itpach. Elisha went ahead and he davened and he was made healthy again. Shnemar v'Elisha chalat chal yosher yamut bo. So it says by Elisha that he got sick in the sickness that he was going to die with. Michlal. From this, you can say the chala achrite, that he had choli achrite, that he had other sicknesses. I mean, the fact that the pasuk has to go out of its way to say that this sickness was the sickness by which he died indicates that there were other sicknesses by which he didn't die. So you see from here that he was sick and he got healthy. Tan Rabbanan Shlosha Chaleim Chala Elisha, that there are three different times in Elisha's life where he fell ill. Echad Shedachafo the Gechazi B'Shtei Yadav, in the instance where he pushed the Gechazi away with his two hands, meaning that Gechazi, who was the Misharet or Mishamesh of Elisha, who acted inappropriately in a number of occasions, and then finally in the case of the Tzarat. And at that point, Elisha throws him away in a strong force. And here the Gemara says that he got sick, or Gemara's criticizing the fact that he did it with such finality and such force that Gehazi was left in a position where he could not be chozer b'tshuva. V'chad shegirat dovim b'tinokot, when Elisha gets upset about the young children who are speaking inappropriately to him and calling him names, he then has the bears that come along and kill the in that neighborhood, or kill the children in that area. So again, instead of being machzir them b'tshuva, or walking away from them and turning a cheek to what they said, Chazal criticized Elisha for going ahead and sending the bears to eat these children. And the last choli that he got sick was when the one that he died by. Okay, now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah and talks about the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya. So he says to his son, "Ela actually yotchilu b'malacha, before they start to work, tzev omer lahem, am not shein lechem alai, ela pat v'kinit." Then go back and make the condition with them that the only thing that they can request, or the suda, we're going to qualify what type of suda we're going to provide for them, that's pat and kitnit. So I'm going to have racha brei derav yosef derav chista pat kitnit tnan. When it says pat in the Mishnah, is the girsa pat kitnit, meaning is it pat made out of legumes, or is it a pat v'kitnit tnan? It means bread along with the side dish, or along with something that is Malaveh the pot of kidnit. Amalei alukim tzrichavav ki mordaya delivrot. He says, of course, there's a vav in there. Of course, it means pot vid kidnit, just like a mordaya livrot. So Rashi says, what does that mean? The livrot is the name of a river, and mordaya is like a rudder. And they, just like a boat needs a rudder to steer through the waters or the river of livrot. And so too, over here, of course, you need a vav in the Mishnah, because it would be pat vikitnit, because pat kitnit is so unusual, it doesn't make so much sense at all. So it must be that it's pat vikitnit in our Mishnah. Rishim Gamliel Mary no tzarecha kol k'minhag medina. Rishim Gamliel says, you don't have to make any of these conditions, it's all like the minhag medina. Akula toimai, what does it mean akol, that everything is like the minhag medina? The toi hadetznan, that comes to include that which we have in a Mishnah, or the Tanya really should be in a Brisa, socher tepoel, v'omlo ke'echad uchishnaim bibneir, noten lo ke'pachot shebeschirut divir Rabbi Yoshi, v'chomim amrim mishamnim b'neihem. Bala Bayit accepts on himself to pay these poalim, these workers, like some of those people in the city, like the poalim that are found in this city. If he says, I'm going to pay you like some of the workers in the city, then he goes ahead and checks what the workers in the city make, and he can pick like the cheapest worker that's paid in the city, and he can pay him like that, because he says, I'm carrying out the condition that I set out, which is, I'm going to pay you like some of the workers in the city, like one or two of the workers in the city. There happen to be one or two workers that get paid this, so you'll also get paid this. That's not what he meant. What he means, I'm going to pay you like one or two workers in the city, it doesn't mean I'm going to pay you the highest salary. It doesn't compare the lowest salary, but rather I'm going to pay you in the middle. We're going to take an average of the average salary that's found in the city, and on that average salary, we're going to pay you at this point in time. The Rambam, when he expresses this, he says you take the highest paid worker and the lowest paid worker, and then you give them half of that, each of them. Okay, now the Gemara is going to continue. We're starting with the new Mishnah over here. The Mishnah is really not brought here because of what we discussed before, which is that Poalim get to eat either k'minhag medina or based on what the Balim said. Well, here the Gemara says, well, there are other Poalim who eat nothing to do with k'minhag medina, nothing to do with how they were hired or the conditions that were set out, but minatorah. These are the people that are entitled minatorah to eat when they are working. Someone who does work with items that are attached to the ground, growing from the ground at the time of the harvest of those items. That's when he's permitted to eat. Ubitalush minakarka, things that have already been severed from the ground, they've already been harvested. Then the person who works with them is permitted to eat from them. Achalo nigmaram lachto, until they have not been finished, meaning they haven't reached the end of the process where they'll be chayav in masrot. At that point, until that point in time, if he works with them, then he will be entitled to eat them. And that'll be the maser, or if something that becomes chayav in chala, then until the item is chayav in chala, if he works with them, then he's permitted to eat it. With davar shegdulo min haaretz, additional qualification is that, of course, it has to be something that grows from the ground. Ve'elu she'en ochlim, these are people that are not entitled min haTorah to eat from that which they are working with. Ha'bemechubar lekarka, b'sha'a, it has to be in a time when it's something that's mechuber the karka, that's attached to the ground, but a time that they're not harvesting it. If you're working in the fields, when you're fertilizing or watering the fields, that does not entitle you to eat that from which is in the field. Ubetalush min karka, something that has already been harvested, removed from the ground, macharshin nigmar melachto, after the time that it's become chayav and maser or chayav and chala, then you can't eat it, because obviously it's now chayav and maser and chala. Ubedvar shen gidulo min haaretz, or with something that is not attached to the ground. For instance, something was when a person's milking, right, or milking the animals, or making the milk into cheese, that does not entitle him to eat from those items. Marseh says, how do you know that there's this, such a concept that min haTorah a poel is permitted to eat? Marseh says, because dichtiv is a pasuk, ki tavo bekerem re'acha v'chalta. It says that when you go into the vineyard of your friend, you're allowed to eat. Marseh says, okay, ashkachan kerem. So now we know how to vineyard. Kol mile minolon. How do we know that other items or other agricultural areas that one would be permitted to eat? Marseh says, because we learn from a vineyard. Just like a vineyard or something that grows from the ground. And that a worker who works in a vineyard only eats b'shat gemar melacha at the time that they're harvesting. And we're going to see later on that the gemara is going to dash in, because it says at the end of the pasuk, it says, you're not allowed to put it into your basket. I mean, you're allowed to eat, but not put it into your basket to store for later. But that indicates that you are putting it into the basket of the balabait. When are you putting the items into the basket of the balabait? That must be at the time of the harvest. So since we know it's talking about the harvest, and we know that it's gilui karka, so we'll learn from there to everything else. It says, wait a minute. There's an unusual aspect to kerem, or a vineyard, that has an additional chumra in it, which is that it's chayav. Ololot, that's one of the matnot eniyim that comes from the kerem, is ololot, the grapes that do not are bodudim, that are alone or don't configure to have a bunches of grapes that are stav katef and atef on them. Those are classified as ololot, and therefore they would be left as matnot eniyim, which is not true of other areas, whether it's tvua or ilanot. So Gemara says, gamrinan mikama. We learn it out from the word kama. It says kama, or from the pasuk by grains. It says kama gufa minolan. Where do you know that from? So it says dichtiv ki tavo bekamat reacha v'katafta mililot v'yadecha. When you come into your friend's field of grains, you're allowed to pick off. You're allowed to take out the kernels. So it says malakama shekin chayevet b'chala. So it says, what about there is also a chiyuv, a unique chiyuv by tvuah, which is that it also ends up becoming chayevet and chalas. That's a chumra by kama. So first of all, before we understand the limud from kama and kerem, let's first question, how do you know the word kama here refers simply to grains? Right? Maybe it's talking about anything that's standing in the fields, anything that grows in the fields. So it says, atya kama kama. We have exershava kama kama ktivacha. Over here it says, kitavo b'kamat reyacha. When you come into the field of your friend, the field of kama, is that kama? Mechtiv hotam, it says by the omer, mechel chermesh b'kama. Just like the kama, ma hatam kama, dimit chayevet b'kahala, just like the kama that's used by the omer, which is orim, ar chayevet in chala, is a grain, which is chayevet in chala. Avachanami, chayevet b'chayevet b'chala. Also over here, the kama that we're talking about in the pasuk of kitavo b'kamat recha is talking about kama that is chayevet in chala. So Agmar says, okay. Once we have that, afachanami kama de mechayev dechalav ikad mifrach. Where it says, then we can break this up. Malakama shekin chayevet bechalav. So you're going to say there's a chumra by tvua by grains that it's chayevet and chala. Kerem yochiach. Then we have the vineyard. Vineyard's not chayevet and chala, and still there we have this din that a poel is allowed to eat b'shat gemar malacha. Malakerem shekin chayav beololot. Just like kerem has a chumra that it's chayevet and ololot. So why should you be chayav unless you're in a situation where it's chayav? So a poel should not be able to eat except in a case where there is ololot. The Gemara says, "Kamo tochiach." Then we have the pasuk kama, which is not chayav into ololot, and yet nevertheless the poel is allowed to eat from it. So between the two, we can learn this. Lo reizek or reized, they're not exactly alike. It's other shabeh shabehen. The common denominator between these two items can davar shegdu loy karko. They both go from the gan. Shad gemar malacha. We're talking about a instance where it's the gemar malacha, meaning at the time that they harvesting the item. Poel ochelbo. In those instances, right, the worker is allowed to eat from them. Af kol davar shegdu loy karko. So any item that grows from the ground, shad gemar malacha, is being harvested. Poel ochelbo. A worker should be allowed to eat in it. And before we said that we understand why by a keren, by a vineyard, why a poel, it's talking about gemar malacha at the time of the harvest, because there we says vel keli chalotiten, which indicates that it is to the kelim of the balabait. By kama, we're going to see in the gemara later on that the word, they darshan the word chermesh to teach us that it is bishat chermesh, which is the time of the chermesh, which means the time of the gemar malacha. Gemara questions this whole limud. It says ma d'tzada shevesh and shkesh v'hensad mizbeach. Right, there's a common denominator between these that they both end up on the mizbeach, meaning that when you're talking about grains, when you're talking about flour, that goes through the menachot, ends up on the mizbeach. And if you talk about the grapes end up with nisuch hayayin. So Gemara says, how could you go include everything? So just atanami zayit, ditvei mizbeach. The only thing that you could include from this, or that you should include from this, is a olive. I mean, how is this available now to learn for other things? We can include olives from this because they have a tzad mizbeach, because the oil that ends up, the shemen that ends up on the mizbeach. Gemara says, v'zayi v'me'a tzadati. Do you really need a me'a tzad, the tzad shavesh behen, to teach you about a zayit? Who gufei keramikrei? A zayit is also called a kerem. Dechtiv, it says in Shoftim, Vayver Migadish Vad Kamav Vad Kerem Zayit. When they went and destroyed the enemy, they came and destroyed in the time of Gidon, they were destroying the fields of the Jews. It says that they destroyed everything. Megadish Ad Kamad Kerem Zayit. So it calls a Zayit. We see that it's called, even though it's an olive orchard, it's still considered and classified as a Kerem. So Amar Rav Papa, that's not necessarily true. Kerem Zayit, you're right. By olives, it's called a Kerem Zayit. If the word is modified, it's called a Kerem Zayit. But Kerem Stama, that's not true. When it just writes the word vineyard by itself, without any qualification, that's only referring to a vineyard of grapes. So it says, Kerem Zayit Ikrei, Kerem Stama Lo Ikrei, Mikomakom Kasho. So nevertheless, we still have a question now. How do we learn out for all other foods that this is true? We have Kama, we have grains, and we have grapes. So those are the only things we can learn out. And we have Tzad Ez Mizbeach, that's Shaveh Behen. And with Tzad Ez Mizbeach Shaveh Behen, the only thing that we could learn out is Zayit. Alarma Shmuel Amar Kra V'Chermesh. The Pasuk says, V'Chermesh, L'Rabot Kol Balei Chermesh. That comes to include anything that is cut by the sickle. It says, we need that, which I explained above, that Rashi says we need the chemesh to teach us that it has to be at the time of the chemesh, the time of the completion of the harvest. That teaches us by everything that the poel is only allowed to eat, the work's only allowed to eat, the time of the harvest. But at the time that's not the chemesh, you're not permitted to eat. It says, Hahu, that limud, the need to tell us that it's only the time to harvest, that we can learn out from the pasuk by Kerem that says, Me'el kelichen lo titein nafko, that you shouldn't put it into your basket, which is indicating that you do put it into the basket of the balabait. So Gemara says, Tinach the bar chemesh, that works with something that is a bar chemesh, that is cut by the sickle. The la bar chemesh manalon, how do you know things when it's not a bar chemesh? El amra b'yitzchak amar kwa, the pasuk says, Kama. The rabot kol balei kama. So when it says in the pasuk kama, kamat re'echa means kama, anything that stands, anything that grows in the field. Bahamar, didn't we just learn a limud kama kama, that you have a gzera shava of kama kama, teach only grains, mechayvet b'chala, only things that are chayv and chala. But it says, hani mi limi kama dineite chemesh. That's before we knew about the limud from the word chemesh. Once we know the limud from the word chemesh, which is everything that grows, hashtate chemesh, it's rabalei kol davar. So chemesh, once we have the word chemesh, we include anything that comes to a chemesh in the end, to what is cut by the sickle. Bafagav to lo mechayv b'chala, even though it's not chayv and chala. So now, kama lomali. So then, if that's the case already, then what's the purpose of the word kama? The rabot kol balei kama. That comes to include anything that grows. So now, even it's not a bal chemesh, if it grows, that'll be sufficient. Where it says, v'hashu nafklan mechemesh umikama. Now that we learn the limo, that, or the din of our mishnah, that a poel eats from gedulei karka at the time of gemar malacha, we learn that at all from these two words of chemesh and kama, which is found in the pasuk. That we quoted above, it's kitavo b'kamat re'echa v'katafta mililo t'biyadecha. So that's fine. So then we have a pasuk by Karen by a vineyard, which is totally extraneous, because it says kitavo b'kerem re'echa lomali. So amarav alehil chutav, we learn out halachot from this. Kedetan, you have a brace. Pasuk says ki tavo. Never can be over here. It says to come. Venever lahalan, and further on it says lo tavo alav hashemesh, that the sun should not set on him in terms of paying him his salary. So over there it's talking about a poel, a worker. So too malahalan bepoel akatuv medaber. Just like further on in the psukim, it's talking about a poel when it says ki tavo. Also over here the ki tavo is talking about avkan bepoel akatuv medaber. So we know we're talking about a worker. Bikerem reacha. What does it mean in your friend's field? Velo bikerem kuti, and not in the field of a goy. So Gemara says, Hanicha the man damar gezel kuti asur. That makes sense according to one who says that gezel agoy or gezel kanani is asur. I know it's dechra lemeshrei. So if it's asur normally, that's why you need a specific pasuk to tell you, right, that it is permitted in this case. But meshrei poel, in the case of a poel, it is permitted for you to eat from his field. The man damar gezel kuti mutar. According to one who says that gezel kanani is mutar, hashak gzela mutar poel mi boile. There, when it's outright gzela, it's mutar. Here with the worker, of course it's going to be, right, mutar. So the Gemara says, no, mukim la, bekerem reyecha v'lo shel hakdesh. You won't say kerem reyecha, and not when it only has application by kerem reyecha, that you're not allowed to put it into your baskets, but by kerem nechui, you're allowed to put it into the baskets. That we don't need a limit for, because there we already know gezel knani is mutar. So no, it comes to teach us that it's only by a layman's field that you're allowed to do this, but by kodesh's fields, you're not allowed to do this. So we learned the Gemara, what I explained the Gemara is like Rashi over here, says the machlok is over here about whether gezel kuti or is mutar or asur, is based on the Gemara that we saw in the end of Baba Kama and Megozel Batra, that there's a machlokas whether Gezel Knani is mutar or asur. And Rashi says this machlokas is reflecting exactly that machlokas there. Tosafot does not like this, because if you remember there in the Gemara came to the conclusion that everybody agrees that Gezel Knani is asur. It was just be Hafkat Havato. The question was, are you allowed to be Mafkia? If you're Mafkat Havato, is that permitted? So when it comes to Hafkat Havato, that was the machlokas in Baba Kama. But over here, the machlokas is literally about Gezel itself. So the Reed says that their machlokas is really premised on the opinion that's found later on in our Gemara on Kufyud Aleph, that there is someone there who is matir gezel goy legamre. But then Tosu says, wait, can there really be opinion that someone says that gezel goy is mutar legamre? Because we have the psukim that are found at the end of Sefer Vayikra, which says that when it comes v'chashev im koneu, when a person, a goy, purchases a Jew, that when you come to redeem him, you have to calculate the exact amount and give him the proper amount. So how can you say gezel goy is mutar if you're over here where the Torah demands of you to pay him in full? So Tosus makes a qualification here and says, even according to the one who says gezel goy is mutar, even according to the one who says outright that gezel goy is mutar, still nevertheless has a qualification there. And that is as long as there's no chilul Hashem. But if there's a chilul Hashem, it's not permitted. So one makes probably makes it almost impossible, because it's almost never, unless there's no knowledge and it's impossible to find out, where there won't be a chilul Hashem. But if there's a risk, or if there is a chilul Hashem, a risk of a chilul Hashem, then even according to one who says that gezel goy is mutar, will not be mutar in that case. And that's what Tosus explains over here. Okay, the Mara continues darshaning the pasuk by Kerem, and it says, "Vachalta v'lo motzeitz avanim." You're allowed to anavim. You're allowed to eat the items, the grapes that you're picking, but you're not allowed to squeeze out the juice and leave everything else behind. V'lo anavim v'davar acher. And also, you can eat the anavim, but you can't be malaved them. You can't make them into a dish or dip them into something. You can eat the grapes that are there. That's it. Kinafshecha. What does it mean, kinafshecha? Kenafshecha means kenefesh shel balabait kach nafsho shel poel. Just like the way the balabait would conduct themselves, so too will the poel. Ma nafshecha ochel upatur. Just like if a balabait went out to his field at this point and picks the grapes and eats them, he'll be patur from trumot masrot. Av nafsho shel poel ochel upatur. Same thing, when the poel eats over here, he will not be chayav in trumot v'ma'asrot. As Rashi points out, what would be the havamina that he'd be chayav in trumot v'ma'asrot? Because he's different than the balabait. Since this becomes a part of his salary, in that the fact that he eats in the field is, in a sense, a part of how he is compensated for his work, even though it's a Torah requirement, but nevertheless, it's still a part of compensation. Maybe we'll look at mekach u'memkar, we'll look like an exchange. If you look at exchange, we know that once by trumot v'ma'asrot, once you are selling an item, that mekach u'memkar is achshavei the item, and even without a gemar malacha, that makes it chayiv in shemot and masrot right away. So we would have a hamamin over here, since the poel is getting paid by this grain or this tvuah or this kerem, that we should make him chayiv in masrot, because it's as if there's a exchange that's taking place. And that's what Gemara commands. No. That it means savacha, means that you act just like the balabai. Just like the balabai eats here, because there's no Gemara malacha eats without taking off trumot masrot. Same will be true of the poel. Savacha. So the word savaya, what does it mean? That savacha? V'lo achilat gasa. You're allowed to eat until you're satisfied, but not until the point where it's gluttonous or excessive eating. And Tosfos points out over here that the reason the Gemara learned it out from Savacha is because since we have the word Savacha, we learn out Achilagasa. Had we not had the word Savacha, then we would use the word Achila to teach us that Achila, yes, but not Achilagasa. And then we would have said that you could drink it. You could squeeze out the juice and drink it because Shtiaz Bichlal Achila. Drinking is a part of Achila. We say that in the Gemara in Yuma. So therefore, if we didn't have the word Savacha here to teach us about Achilagasa, then the word Achalta before we would have used to teach us not Achilagasa. And then we wouldn't have the word Achalta to teach us the other din, which is you're only allowed to eat the grapes and not squeeze the grapes out. So this is the limud that we mentioned above. Then you're allowed to place it into your bucket. At the time that you place it into the kelim of the balabayit, that's when you're permitted to eat. When you're not taking it off the trees to place it into the balabayit's possession, then also you're not allowed to eat. Meaning that teaches us that only at the time of gemar melacha is one permitted to eat from that which is available or that which he is working with. But if it's not b'shat gemar melacha, then a person is not permitted to take from those fruits or grains or vegetables that he is working with. Now, in the conclusion, we'll learn out from the words kama and chirish. We'll learn out chamesh. Anything that's a balei chamesh will be chayav. And once we have that word of chamesh, then with the word kama is extraneous. So kama will come to include anything that grows, not simply kama that is tevua. And then how do we know? So that'll teach us about all gedulei karka. Then we have the pasuk by Karen, which it says, "Vel kel yachal lo titain," did not put it into your keli, but put it into the keli by the bite. That teaches us b'shat gemar melacha. So from that we'll know all the dinim of our mishnah, which is that anything that's gedulei karka b'shat gemar melacha, that will teach us that you are permitted to then, or the poel is then permitted to eat from those items. Okay, we'll stop over here.